It is 438 on downtown, the Pulse, AM 620, WZON. All over the world at WZONThePulse.com and in high definition at WKIT HD3. Our whole program devoted to the topic of youth sports today. Joining us in studio, Tim Bowdy from the Bangor Parks and Recreation Department, Bob Cobb, the former dean of the University of Maine's College of Education. Bob, we were talking before the weather there about the fact that Maine does not produce a great deal of Division I athletes. You were involved in the Sports Done Right program, got that started here in the state of Maine, and part of the impetus for that was because of the fact that we're not producing a whole lot of pros or college athletes, that we ought to make sure that high school sports, middle school sports, but especially high school, is a good experience for everybody and not simply the elite players.
Absolutely. Sports need to be preparation for life, not preparation for a career at the professional level. But somebody is talking at length to our kids about their chances of achieving a college athletic scholarship. About 60%, 59% of the football and basketball players in Maine, when asked, are you expecting to get a Division I scholarship, said yes. Hmm. And yet, we all know it's between 1% and 2% who go on to achieve a college scholarship, athletic scholarship. And then when you think about the professional level, your chances are 1 in 13,000 of becoming a professional athlete.
Wow, that's some staggering odds there. Well, in studio with us is somebody who has made it from Maine High School to the collegiate level as a member of the women's basketball team at the University of Maine from Van Buren, Paris Rosignol. Thank you for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with your basketball career, your sports career. When did you first start playing organized sports?
Organized sports? I think as early as kindergarten we started playing organized recreation basketball.
And obviously doing that in a small town is different because the numbers aren't as great, and you also get a chance to probably do a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's definitely different. We don't have a lot of people, so actually it wasn't just girls against girls. We played co-ed. So I actually think that played a big role in challenging me to be even better, I think.
So at what age did you begin to think to yourself that perhaps I'd like to do this beyond high school?
Probably when I was in middle school, I'd gone to Tiger basketball camp in Fort Fairfield, and some Maine players had actually gone there, and I got to know them pretty well, and I followed their season, and I thought it was really cool, and that's when I wanted to try to make it to the Division I level.
Now, of course, there's also the family connection. Everybody knows your dad, Matt, who was a tremendously talented player and coach. Did that make it more difficult for you and your brother, for that matter? Was there some extra pressure being a Rosignol?
Sometimes not from my family at all. You know, my dad never put any pressure on us. If we didn't want to play, we didn't have to. But I think other people would always ask me, you know, do you feel pressure? And I think them asking me that would make me feel pressure. That's really the only pressure I felt, but none from my family at all.
So what was the final piece that made you decide to continue your basketball career at the University of Maine?
Really just the love for the game. I didn't want to stop. You know, I wanted to play at the highest level I possibly could. And now I'm playing Division I, and I'm still trying to get better every day so I can compete at the best level.
So what's been the biggest eye-opener to you in going from high school basketball to Division I?
I think just the athleticism and the quickness and the strength. It's unbelievable, the jump you make. And I'm still transitioning and trying to get stronger and quicker. And that was definitely the biggest difference.
What about the time that's involved in trying to balance academics and athletics at that level?
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. You know, we're lifting, we're conditioning, plus three-hour practices, and you got to study. You really have to be dedicated. It's not easy, but it's worth it. You know, you have to work hard, just like anything, and it's been really fun.
We're talking with Paris Rosignol from the Maine women's basketball team. So when you look at youth sports, whether it's looking back at your own memories or what you saw from other young people playing, what are the challenges, what are the problems that you see in youth sports? We've talked with people already who've said, well, most of the problems are centered around the adults. Did you experience that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's everywhere. A lot of times the adults get more competitive than the actual kids do. You know, parents wanting their kid to be the best and not thinking maybe they're not being treated fairly. I think that's definitely the biggest problem. Most of the time it looks like the kids are having fun, and sometimes maybe the parents are just getting a little too competitive from what I've seen.
And we were talking with Bob Bigelow, who went played in the NBA for 4 years a few minutes ago, who said, look, that's when you ask kids what they want out of a youth sports experience, winning finishes fairly low on the list. It's about fun. It's about being with their friends. And I've seen this as a coach and an athletic director as well. In high school, certainly, and in younger sports, once the game is over, that's ancient history. You're moving on. It's not like you spend 2 hours breaking it down after the fact.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, just for example, like my high school team, after a loss, you know, it's tough, whatever, but we put it behind us. My dad sometimes couldn't sleep for days after a tough loss. I think it just shows the difference, you know. When you're young, you just want to have fun, and I think when you grow and mature, it becomes a little more competitive, a little more serious.
What about in talking with other athletes at the university? Because one of the great things about playing in a Division I program is that you get to meet people not only from all around the country, but in the case of women's basketball, from all around the world. Do they get a different youth sports experience outside the United States?
I actually haven't really talked about that to them. So I don't really know, you know. Something I should bring up to them, though.
Do either of you have any questions for Paris?
What other sports did you play in addition to basketball, Paris?
In high school, I played soccer and tennis as well.
So you were a three-sports
yes.
person.
Yep.
Do you feel that those other sports helped you in basketball?
In basketball, yes, I do, because especially soccer. It was right before basketball season, and we do a lot of conditioning in soccer, so I really feel like that prepared me well. So, yeah, definitely.
Well, it's a fascinating thing that we're discussing here this afternoon because we're seeing people give it up by looking at some of the numbers. This is for the last five-year period that's available. Among 6 to 12-year-olds, so younger kids, but the percentage of people giving up the game and the decline in the number of participants in basketball, it's about 4%, soccer 11%, track 14%, baseball 14%, football 29%, and in softball 31%. So people are giving up sports at a higher rate at an earlier age. As an athlete yourself, do you think that's because of pressure? Is it because of burnout? Is it the cost of playing sports at those younger ages? What would be your guess?
That's pretty interesting. I think it's probably the competitiveness. As you get older, like I know a lot of people who I ask if they've ever played sports, and they say they did when they were younger and through middle school, but stopped when they got to high school. I think that's not a coincidence, because when it gets to high school, you're actually playing for something. You're playing for a gold ball. So I think it's definitely the competitiveness and the pressure, and it might just get to them.
Now, as a Division I athlete, and I've asked people this before, is it still fun?
It absolutely is fun. You know, it's hard work, but it's worth it. It's a lot of fun.
And is it as rewarding or perhaps even more so than being on a high school team?
I think it's more rewarding, especially at this level, especially in Maine, because we're representing our whole state. We're the only Division I school, so we have the whole state behind us. So when we have a good season, get big wins, we're making our whole state proud. So I think it's really, really rewarding.
And I tell kids, as a high school teacher, I tell them this all the time, too. It's most important, I think, to find a place where you fit in. And it doesn't have to be Division I athletics. What's important, if you want to continue your athletic career after high school, is find a place where you'll be comfortable. Have you experienced that at Maine?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was something I was worried about coming in. I wanted to play for Maine, but I didn't know the experience yet. And what if I don't like it? But I got there, and it just felt like home, and that's so important. Because if it didn't, it really wouldn't be a good experience when you're not with people. The people are what make it, so... Yeah.
There you go. Well, oh yeah, go ahead, Sam.
I just have a question. Obviously, three sports star in high school. Was there a time when you decided, even when you were younger, that basketball might be the one sport you lean more towards while also playing the other ones?
I think right away. Basketball is huge in our family. We love to watch it on TV. We all like to play it. So it was my favorite sport right from the start, and I wanted to be the best player I possibly could and try to play at the highest level.
Now, the high school tournament in Maine is, of course, so huge, the biggest week of the year, arguably, in sports in the state of Maine. Was there ever a feeling of pressure in those tournament situations, or was that just a great environment to be in with a jam-packed Bangor Auditorium or the Cross Center?
I think beforehand, like when your team makes it before the game, you feel pressured. I mean, everyone loves tourney time. Everyone talks about it. But once you step on the court, it honestly all goes away. It's just such a fun experience playing in front of the large crowd, and I think every other high school athlete who plays on that stage would also agree with me.
Well, Paris, we really appreciate you stopping by. Great representative of the University of Maine. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy. Did you get any time off this summer? A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. We're still working out and lifting, conditioning and stuff, but we're home doing it.
So. Now, did you learn any Italian on your trip?
Yes, one thing. I can say, go Black Bears.
Oh, let's hear that in Italian.
All right, you say, Forza Orsineri.
Forza Orsineri.
That is, go Black Bears.
I like that. That's great. Thank you, Paris.
You're welcome.
Paris Rossignol with us on Downtown. We'll take a break. It's 4:48. Still to come, Duke Albany's Maine's former education commissioner, Maine men's basketball coach Bob Walsh, Tom Ferry of ESPN, and the Aspen Institute's Project Play as well. This is Downtown on the Pulse, AM 620 WZON.
Take a trip down the red carpet. You'll discover a dazzling place where stardom becomes you. There's no place like Hollywood. Hollywood Casino Hotel and Raceway Bangor. Visit us at HollywoodCasinoBangor.com. Persons under 21 may not enter the gaming area unless licensed employees. Do you or anyone you know have a gambling problem? For help, services, and counseling, please call 1-800-522-4700. Maine residents, contact 211 for information and resources.
Burgers, beers, breakfast, and the best views in town? It has to be the Family Dog in Orono. The Family Dog's gourmet burgers are unique in style and flavor, plus a wide variety of craft beers. And if beer isn't your thing, Captain Eli's Soda on tap. Morning person? The Family Dog serves breakfast Monday through Saturday starting at 7, and a Sunday brunch starting at 9. Located at the top of the hill in Orono, with the best views in town. And the deck is now open with spacious outdoor seating. The Family Dog, open daily until 10 p.m. Details, menu items, and more at thefamilydogorono.com. At Quality Jewelers, all of our diamonds and jewelry are hand-selected to give you the best quality and value. We have one of the largest selections of diamonds, jewelry, and tourmaline in New England. And if we don't have just what you're looking for, we can get it here within a day or two thanks to our over 100 suppliers. Our master jewelers have over 50 years of experience and can create that one-of-a-kind custom-designed piece. Quality Jewelers, at the Penobscot Plaza in Bangor and at qualityjewelers.com.
Since 1954, Cross Insurance has provided the coverage, financial strength, and security needed to safeguard businesses across New England. Cross is a family-owned business, serving clients large and small, including our friends at Gillette Stadium. Cross is one of New England's largest insurance providers, with a network of offices in Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts. At Cross, we match policies to our clients' needs at the best rates available. Proud partner of the Patriots, Red Sox, Bruins, and Revolution. Cross Insurance, where security meets strength.
You talked, we listened.
Tiller and Ryan Brewer is adding new products weekly and lowering prices all over the store.
Grass-fed meats, organic veggies, cheeses, bulk foods, gluten-free products, and more. Free of harmful additives. Plenty of Maine products, too.
There's an amazing selection of craft beers and organic wines. Plus daily soup and sandwich specials, juices, and smoothies at the Eat-In Cafe and Deli.
Tiller and Rye, 20 South Main Street in Brewer and at tillerandrye.com.
Looking for a great place to enjoy dining? Try the Bangor Dining Room at Season. How about the best place to watch your favorite teams? Try the Sports Lounge. Two distinct atmospheres, one sensational place. Located at 427 Main Street in Bangor. Need a place for a group or family event? Call 992-2250 for showers, rehearsal dinners, special luncheons, and sports parties. Our on-site broadcast booth allows you to enjoy the Downtown with Rich Kimball Show. Located just two blocks from the Hollywood Casino, the Cross Insurance Center, and find us online at seasonsbangor.com. Fans, food, fun, Seasons.
.452 on Downtown, talking youth sports today on the program here on WZON. Rich Kimball, Tim Bowdy from Bangor Parks and Recreation, Bob Cobb, the former dean of the College of Education, and Bob, you were one of the driving forces behind the Sports Done Right program. Let's talk about what we were discussing in the break. You brought in hundreds of athletes from high school and middle school during the Sports Done Right program and asked them about their concerns, their priorities. Can you share some of that information?
Right. We boiled it all down to about four major concerns that these youngsters had about their playing experience. The first one was unrealistic coach and parental expectations. They just felt that they're asking too much of us. They're expecting we can do so much and we can't. The second one was negative spectator behavior. And there was a period of time there where people were coming out of the stands and to the point where, not in Maine, but in other states nearby, they wouldn't announce the site of the games. They put the kids on the bus, and the bus driver was the only one who knew where they were going. So they played without any spectators. Had to. The third major concern was inequitable treatment from the coaches. That is a that's a hard one for kids to understand without in the absence of one-on-one conversations with the coaches. They just imagine all these things that that aren't necessarily true, but nevertheless, it does result, in their view, in inequitable treatment. And then the win-at-all-cost attitudes that coaches sometimes find themselves exhibiting with their players.
Well, and when you talk about the inequitable treatment or the perceived inequitable treatment, too, I think that becomes even more problematic at the lower levels when you have parent coaches, because I think that always puts them in a bind. I think it's hard. Parents often go one way or the other. Either they favor their kids or they go so far the other way, Tim, to show that they're not favoring their own kid, that their child has an unpleasant experience.
Absolutely true. I've coached at all the levels, and I find the same thing. You know, you have your child there, and you start thinking more about how much am I going to play my child so, one, I don't look like I'm favoring, or on the other end, I get home and I hear, Dad, why? And I think the inequitable treatment comes back to sometimes how, with the other part of expectations, other parents often are telling their children, well, so-and-so, you should be playing before so-and-so. That person isn't as good as you. So they're hearing it in that form of, well, mom and dad say I'm the best. And then anytime they don't play, it comes back to, well, why aren't I playing? My dad thinks I'm the best.
Well, and
my
that
mom does.
Gets back to that idea of unrealistic expectations. I ask high school kids all the time, if I asked you to rank all the players on your high school team, could you tell me where you fall in that ranking pretty accurately? And the kids invariably say yes. When I ask, could your parents do the same thing, they laugh and say, no, my parents think I'm the best on the team, and I ought to be playing all the time. And so there is that. And that's, look, that's understandable, too. We all tend to look at our children with a somewhat less than unbiased light. The key there is being able to step back, though. And I've always said, if you want your kids to be successful, one of the things you have to do, and it's not just in sports, I think it's in any area, is let go of them and be willing to let the coaches take them. And whether that's in a high school sport or whether that's at T-ball, let the kids go. Let it be their game.
Exactly. We find this. We do our T-ball program all the time. And, yeah, you've got to let the kids just learn. And sometimes we learn by falling off the playground. You know, and good or bad, sometimes that's how we have to learn.
I got the scars to show for it there. That wraps up the first hour of our Youth Sports Forum on Downtown. Much more to come in hour two. Duke Albanese, the former commissioner of education in the state of Maine, Maine men's basketball coach Bob Walsh, and Tom Ferry from the Aspen Institute's Project Play. This is Downtown WZON.